And like I said, this is the Adam Messer Show. Thank you so much for being with us today. My special guest today is Ed Susevich from Savannah on Film.
Thank you for having me.
What's up, Ed?
This is part of our crossover.
Yeah, we're doing like a crossover series. But yeah, anyway, so today I'm gonna record the video, and it's going to be on YouTube, of Sebastian Messer. My son usually plays a little bit of music for us. So, Bass, do you mind taking it away? Face melted. Nice job, Bass. Thank you.
That's awesome, dude.
Thank you so much. And this is going to be like the first time that I'm doing a video recording. I've done live.
Is that on?
Yeah, it's on. It's on. So what's up, everybody?
Are you recording there?
And we're recording here, so it's going to be on the...
I'm recording here. I'm recording there.
Everybody, we've got enough recordings that you could hear like the backdrop of a gnat landing on the wall.
Oh, God. So, that's probably true.
And you're a sound guy, so you know sound is so important to everything. Thing, right,
to me it's everything.
So like we were doing give you an example the other day, we were doing a recording for your show.
Yes.
And you could hear the boom, 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 boom,
yeah,
of the fan and the air conditioning unit turning on.
Yeah,
and it didn't really bother me on. But it was like something that
I would have turned it off, but
right,
you know.
So hey, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are and what you do?
When I was 6 years old, I won my first Academy Award. No. I'm born and raised here in Savannah. My mm-hmm. family grew up here. My dad's family especially. And we're right here at WRUU Studios, right by Troop Square. And my dad used to tell stories about him and his brothers and all that, playing football. There was a famous story he told about they kicked the football and knocked the soup pot off the second story.
Oh, gosh.
A stove or something. I don't know if it's true.
Oh, gosh.
My dad was great with tales and stuff like that. But, yeah, I'm from Savannah. I've been in – sound is part of my life.
Mm-hmm.
I am a production sound mixer for film and television. I do some sound editing. I've been a podcaster for 10 years.
Oh, wow.
Which is fun.
So that's the Geek Homeworld?
Geek Homeworld. That's my current podcast, yes.
Yeah.
I've done three of them, and this one's been going on for about 4 years. And I also write, so I've written about 450 poems in my life. I haven't written in a while.
And there's a story that we'll talk about in a minute.
Right, right.
About
that. And I've got you to thank for the Edisonce, Renaissance that I've been.
Well, you know, it's interesting.
Writing.
So let me interject. So everybody listening in, yesterday Ed asked me if I could help him out with something up here at the studio, so we met up here at the studio.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had a thing that I was doing over at E. Shaver Booksellers, which is just a couple blocks up the road.
Right.
Well, I was amazed. We went, and Ed asked, you know, if he came along. I was like, no, come on. So we went down there, and Brendan Walsh is doing his Great American Poetry Tour.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the second stop. He started in Jacksonville.
Right.
And so he was here. He's from Hollywood, Florida. And I interviewed him actually for the Savannah Morning News for Do Savannah.
Okay.
And so that's how I got involved in doing that, because I was like, you know, I'd love to go see him in person, meet him, you know, whatever, especially since he's in town. And we had they had Melanie Goldie, who is with she's a comedian, Front Porch Improv. She was on.
She's fairly good.
Yeah, she was pretty good.
Performances.
And then Tony Morris, who is, I guess, a professor at Georgia Southern.
Georgia Southern, yeah. He's a
really nice guy. I love the poetry. I've been to a poetry performance before, but it was a musical act. Actually, I was part of it, but I wasn't a poet. But I've never been to a poetry reading before.
Oh, yeah.
And it was packed. They had a packed house. I thought it was so cool.
Yeah, it was really neat. It was in the back of E. Shaver's back there and with the rare books. It was just really invigorating. It was really cool.
That's where I'm leading into. Yeah. Because when we were talking Friday while we were recording your show, you were telling me that you used to be part of, you actually had your own poetry society.
yeah.
You were like a big poet back in the day, but you never really published anything.
Well, actually, I've had about two or three things published.
And
you kind of send them off, and you pay for the anthology. So, if that makes me a published poet, then I'm a published poet.
Yeah. And, you know, the way I consider it is if you put it on the web, Xerox copy it and you put it out there to the world.
Yeah.
You know, because think about like colonial days when they were doing printing presses, they would actually just print off a copy and they would take it to people. Right. You know, that's publishing.
True. That's true.
But you wrote like 450 or so poems.
Over a span of time. I mean, I started in 1985 when I was like eighth grade. Mm. And they're the simple, you know, roses are red, violets are blue kind of rhyme scheme. And there was a lot of that in the earlier stuff. And I look at that and cringe at some of it. But there are a few gems in there.
I want to, you know, Ed, can I ask you your opinion? Okay. I want to pull up. Talk about this. Hold on one second here.
Oh, no. A surprise.
That's not a surprise. Ed, okay.
Oh, gosh.
I'm just going to put Ed on blast right now. Ed has a notebook. Show everybody your notebook, Ed.
It's the one I usually bring.
Ed has a notebook.
I'm supposed to show this one.
Yeah. Ed is so super organized. And his show and my show, they're similar because we talk to creative people. But Ed likes to have like the questions and stuff marked out. I'm like, hey, come on in. Let's just chit chat.
Well, I'm spontaneous.
And I love your style.
I was trying to prepare for this, and I'm like,
he actually is more prepared than I am, y'all. And I'm like,
and I don't know if I prepared that well, to be honest. But I don't know. I want to do my homework. But
this is so funny, Ed, because I have seen you more. I've actually seen Ed more in the last 3 days than I've seen him in the last year
that we
that I've known you
been on. And yeah, we started our shows the same day.
We started the same day, so that's why we're doing the crossover.
Yeah, so this is like a CW crossover. It's like
it's like the
Crisis on Infinite Earths. I don't know. Well, hopefully not a crisis.
Okay. So, all right. You have some poems that you want to read, right? You have a couple that you want to share with us.
Yeah,
that'd be awesome.
Yeah, I do.
I have one that I want to share with you.
Okay, if you want to share first,
I'll break the ice here, Ed. That way, you know.
Oh God,
when you go to read yours, you can be like, "Oh, well, mine are so much better than yours." Well, you can be like, my poetry is so much better than yours, Adam.
You're the host. I yield to your authority.
It's hard for me not to be amateur.
This is so weird to be a guest.
I know, it's so funny.
I've not been a guest. I'm like, I should be on that side.
I know.
Of the
it's
board.
Like being on the other side of the mic here.
Get out the way, man.
I love it. But, so listen at home. If you're listening at home or if you're watching the video, this is me. I'm Adam. Ed. I encourage you to check out the video because we started doing like video and stuff, and I think it's really cool. Actually, just had Bo Bowen on your show last night, right?
Last night, yeah.
And people can check out your podcast and your video.
Yeah, Sven on Film on Facebook. It's also on Anchor. I turned it into a podcast. So
that's awesome.
I'm starting to upload the new stuff and some of the older stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, cleaning it up and putting it on Anchor. And
it's so easy, isn't it? I love Anchor.
And once again, you're the one that got me started on Anchor. I know
I'll tell
it's
you, it's
hat,
funny.
But, you know.
Well, my friend Josh Vasquez, he's the one that got me turned on to it. And then, you know, I think it's so useful and so easy to use. That's why I take, like, this show will be on there tonight, you know, so it'll be a lot of fun.
I got to say about organization, my wife might disagree with that. I'm always dropping stuff around the house.
My wife would disagree with me about everything. Just about.
I might be organized, but it might be a big pile of.
I think that's one of the things I love about my wife is that we're opposites. You know,
we are too.
Yeah, she will call me out on my nonsense quick.
Oh yeah, I need to be called out on my nonsense.
It keeps me level headed.
It does. When you have someone that's like the total opposite of you, I find it refreshing. It can be frustrating because you're both trying to get your point across, and I'm more of an extrovert, especially when I think I'm right, especially when I'm wrong. And
isn't it always like that? When you think you're right, you're like actually not right.
And it'll take me a while to come around and realize, yeah, I messed up. And
I've noticed that with my wife, and maybe this is like your wife too, but by the time my wife is willing to say something like that, she's already prepared her answers everything.
I literally told my wife today, I said, why do you remember everything in great detail, but why can't you be like me and just forget things?
That's not the way it works.
My memory is going, yeah. That's not the way it works. They're like, sub-articles, see, I can remember this. She's not that bad, trust me. She's wonderful. I'm the blessed person here.
You're listening to us here on WRU. WRUULP Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM, WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings Community Radio with Global Soul. I'm your host, Adam Messer, and my special guest today is Ed Susevich from Savannah on Film. Woo-hoo. Geek Homeworld, for those of you listening who
My geeky podcast.
Yeah, we'll plug that. Okay, so Icebreaker, want to do the poetry stuff?
Okay.
Do you want to go first, or you want me to go first?
You're the boss, so tell me.
Well, Sebastian, you got a coin?
We're going to flip.
We'll flip a coin.
They still have those?
Flip the pick. See which one.
Pick.
Heads or tails?
Heads.
You won. All right, you go first.
Oh, crap.
One more time.
Hold on. Heads or tails?
Heads or tails.
You're
the guest. You get the call.
Heads.
All right, it means I get tails. Which is it? Oh, it's tails. okay, I'll go first. All right. Okay, so this is a poem, and it's so weird because I've never read poetry to anybody. Yesterday was the first time I ever performed or read my poetry, and I read it to Brendan.
Oh, wow.
And I just quickly read it to him, and I thought that was, I don't know. I wrote a lot of poetry as a young adult. Teenager. As an adult, I have not really written a lot of poetry, but backstory for this one is it's called Stargazing.
Okay.
And here's the...
Oh, that's... I've seen that, and I was wondering what that was.
If you can see this, guys and girls and everybody else, this is like just a little picture that I did for it. Just because I'm like a visual person, so
I might try to turn this camera around on you. Okay, fine. I don't know what this will pick up. It's an old GoPro that I got.
Okay.
My sister got it for me, so I don't know.
All right.
I appreciate it.
So the backstory on this was about 5 years ago or so.
Fix the hair.
I wanted to submit this, or I did submit this, to the Isaac Asimov magazine.
Wow.
And it was rejected, which is fine. But I was like, it's the first time I ever sent a query in. So
it takes guts.
And that's why I'm sharing this, because it's not really that great, but it is what it is.
Well, my parents didn't know for like decades that I wrote poetry. I kept it totally silent. It was like my thing.
Yeah.
And then eventually I got the courage up.
So here it is.
But I want to hear it. Yeah.
Stargazing.
By Adam Messer.
By Adam Messer.
Young Adam Messer.
Right.
Younger.
All right. Stargazing. The sunlight shrinks and is almost gone. And the moons rise to take their throne, gently glowing upon my brow, thinking of how we were and then and now. Ever dreaming of that day, you touched my being in a special way. We slipped into bliss after you took my hand and we embraced for our first gentle kiss. I think of you, my dear love, but now only your star shines upon me from above. Why did you have to go? I begged you to stay, but you said no. We were to be wed and married, but the war destroyed all of our plans we carried. They took you from me, my dear. Now I am alone and full of fear. Bitter tears weep as I dream of you. Your heart protected me, always right and true. Eternally, I give you all my love, all my days evermore. I give you my heart, my soul, and my core. Damn you, why did you have to go? We could have jumped stations, but you simply said no. You said it was right to serve and protect our home. But what is a home when I'm all alone? I wish I could say that you're right and serve and that I agree, but that's not the story that my eyes see. I will love you always as my days grow longer, as my love for you every day grows stronger. Rest in peace, my dearest love. Soon my being joins you up above. Today I ship off for my last mission. They needed more volunteers for the expedition. No one expects any of us to live. That's all right with me because I have nothing more to give. I signed up as quickly as I could for the Empire. I give my life as any rightly soldier should. truth be told, since it's only you and me, I give my life to be with you, sweetie. Today, my love, we will be reunited and share our love eternally, forever, undivided.
Well, I do not want to follow you. That was beautiful.
I you know, that it reminded me of, I love, first of all, I used to read Isaac Asimov and science fiction a lot when I was a kid. And I wanted to be in the Isaac Asimov magazine. Like, I just, I don't know. Right. I just wanted to be in that. I was like, you know, this is like, I love Isaac Asimov. Right. And this is before I wrote any fiction. And it reminded me of, have you ever had a love with someone, like you were in love with someone, but you grew apart separately? Like, I think back to before I met my wife, you know, like when I met my wife, that was my true soulmate. You know, before that, I had people that I loved, and I have people that I love now, but not in love with them. And until I met my wife, I really didn't understand the difference, you know? So for me, it was almost like having that love for someone, and you still have that love, but it's not the same.
That's beautiful. My wife and I went to high school together.
Oh, wow. And high school sweethearts.
Well, we liked each other, and I was ugly and nerdy when nerd wasn't cool.
I was
geek.
A nerd when it wasn't cool
yeah,
either.
And we met, and I was got on the newspaper staff, and I got it.
I was on the high school newspaper staff too.
At Savannah High. Good.
I was actually up in Fort Metro, Kentucky, at Dixie Heights High School.
And we and she was very studious, and she's still as smart as all get out. She's way smarter than I am. And anyhow, so Cheryl, we liked each other basically for 4 years. And after I finally asked her out after we graduated.
Oh, wow.
You know, I had evolved. I thought I was better and, you know, more confident then. And we went out on a few dates, but I couldn't take a hint. It was pre-social media, so you had to send a letter. And then when she went away for college and I got offered a job locally, and where I spent almost 30 years, and here in Savannah. And then she went off and explored the world and education. And we ended up getting back together about, I think it's close to 7 years now. And
wow.
Yeah, it's like, it's kind of like that little fairy tale story, but it's actually true. And, you know, dreams do
come
true.
So your lives took a different path and then you crossed back over.
Well, I always keep saying the long and winding road, you know, which my brother would appreciate that Beatles reference. Who are the Beatles?
Congratulations, man. That's awesome.
But yeah, so I know what it's like to a lot of my poetry was that, you know, that teen angst and I put my angst and my darkness and my hopes on paper. You know, I was an introvert back then.
Yeah,
I'm not making up for it.
I'm kind of one of those people that was introverted, extroverted. Mm-hmm. So there's times where I want to be out and talk to people, and there's other times I don't.
Oh yeah.
So is it dinging on Facebook Live on you?
Yeah, I'm on Facebook. It's just telling me that people are watching.
Jimmy, oh, cool.
Eve, my sister's watching.
Shout out to everybody out there.
Cayman's watching. Justin.
Cool.
Thank y'all for watching. We're all over the place. We have cameras everywhere. And
I think it's cool because you know that's the whole thing with the internet and social media and stuff like that, publishing and all that, is you can put your stuff out there. So even though I wasn't on the Isaac Asimov or wasn't published with the Isaac Asimov magazine, you know, I never actually when Monica Lee Floyd came on, I decided to put that on my website and just self-publish it. Wow. And put that out there to the world. And then yesterday was the first time I'd read it to anybody. And then you're the second person. So
wow.
All right, so let's hear yours. I'd love to hear it.
Okay, well, these are recent ones because I was going through, I have like three volumes of them, and I was like, that's why I was almost late today. I was like, what do I take?
That's
and I was
cool.
Like, I want to show a different thing, but these are all pretty dark. But they're kind of socially relevant. This first one, I like a lot of sci-fi, geeky things, so I always think, you know, I love like the Terminator series, so I think about apocalypses and the world ending and like, you know,
dystopian stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. So this one is called, and I'll let you kind of figure out what it might be about. And I hope I do a good reading of this.
Ed Susevich, everyone, reading poetry.
This is called, and I wrote this June 22nd of 2018. It's called I Saw Oblivion. And in those days, life meant nothing. The young were cast away, the old put out of misery. A rising cloud of ash and smoke enveloped a once golden city. embers of a former great metropolis had no more beams of light. The sky was darkened, the ground shook from coast to mountainside. In the valley, once pure and perfectly pristine, now a shadow of gray bludgeoned despair. The air was thick with the smell of death and destruction. Where before birds flew to the heavens and danced in beautiful flight, now those skies were empty and desolate. The only sounds that could be heard were the lack of any at all. The machine that made industry alive stopped cold and frozen in time. A billowing behemoth of bile and putrid fluids bubbled upon the barren oceans, 1,000 miles deep and wide across, like a hemisphere of hatred encapsulating the globe. Once we walked hand in hand, declared a lasting peace, and shared a universal love for all ages, now has turned into shards of broken love. From far off, you could see the past covered by broken lies. No life where there once was nothing but endless joy. In the blast of selfish and untrusting thoughts, the future was cast into the unknown. Would they ever find the way back from the toil and troubles like plagues upon their souls? Could they try one last attempt to halt the tide of obliteration? It started with the cry of one forgotten child, banished, broken, lost to the future. From there, one cry became thousands, and they turned a blind eye. We saw the end coming fast, though we didn't steer the car away from the cliff of uncertainty we raced towards. We turned our back on common sense. We screamed for rights that serviced our worst fears, and then wondered how it all got so bad. Did they not see the warning signs? Maybe they did not care. Not in this eternal nothingness could they have saved themselves at last. No one is to say, for no one is to remain. This ultimate reality of shame belched a new world of hate and greed upon the surface of a tired sphere. I saw it all fall. I saw them laugh in the desolate faces of whom needed one last hope, a gasp for air, a branch for peace. I saw oblivion. What fate will you choose?
That was great, Ed. I love it.
I like the visualness of the poetry.
And y'all, I had my eyes closed so I could visualize it the whole time. Yeah, it was really good.
It was like fire and
all
that good stuff.
I like that. We what was the part where the cliff or the car?
Yeah, the car, yeah. Steered, let's see. Though we didn't steer the car away from the cliff of uncertainty we raced towards.
That was good. Yeah, I really liked it. You know, it made me think of post-nuclear war.
That's exactly where my mind is. But reading this, I can kind of, I hate that, I'm not trying to get political here, but I almost realize Kids in Cages could fit to this.
Yeah, we could do. You know, you could do a lot of things.
If we forget the mistakes of the past, decades ago,
mm-hmm.
and
you know, yesterday or was it Friday? We were talking about. I think we were talking about Hollywood pushing agendas or whatever.
Yes.
And I think I replied to you saying, you know, isn't that the point of art to push the envelope?
It is. It is actually, you know.
Yeah.
Some people are losing their minds about the casting of Ariel.
Yeah, which I think is ridiculous.
I think it's inspired casting.
Yeah.
You know, I understand the old, but you know, I'm part of the old.
Yeah.
And you've got to evolve. We have to evolve. I think
you know, it should be art should push the envelope. It should make you question and think, and it should
right.
question the status quo when the status quo is wrong.
You've got to shake up the system. You know, it's like punk music. You know, it's like, I was hoping for a riff right there when I said punk music. Give me some, Sebastian. Can you hit me with something?
Ta-da.
No, I'm sorry to put you on the spot. Cool. I like the music interlude.
Yeah.
Is it too much? Can I hit you with another one? Or
yeah, no. We're going to take a break in a few minutes. Okay. We've got about 5 minutes before the break. So
this one's
Let's do another one.
Okay, this one's about social media, and I wrote it. It looks like last year, and it's about the fakeness of social media and how people put themselves out there and they're this, but really they're not.
Right, right.
So it's called Show Me Your Smile. This is the happiest one I have, unfortunately.
The dark side of Ed Susevich.
The dark side in the light. Okay, show me your smile. Show me your smile so I know that it is you, the same person I became friends with, too. No, I don't want to know how bad your day was or the horrible things that came your way. I need to show you my false face so I know you're keeping up the pace. I want to see those happy posts you make. No, it doesn't matter if they are fake. You might be going through a bit of sadness, but nobody wants to read it, just gladness. We became close because you were so much fun. No, I didn't want to see that undone. Show me your smile and everything you like. Post silly pictures of that mountain hike. Everyone wants to be amused. Nobody cares if you feel abused. These are the ways when you live online. Everyone is always just doing fine. Nobody cries or feels dread. And don't tell us the ugly thoughts in your head. Just show me a smile today. That lets me know you're okay. We don't care for politics or the real world. We just want to be happy boys and girls. Let's see that smile brighten our day and give us something clever, you say. Show us how real you are at being fake. We cannot handle your heartache. Tomorrow will be better if you try. If the truth doesn't suit you, then lie. I can say this because it happened to me. I really do care, but I can't let you see. So show me your smile and all you feel. Life online is all too real.
Good job. Thank you. Yeah, I'd have to agree with the disingenuous and unauthentic. Mm-hmm. It's almost a system that the posting online, you know, I'm not just going to say social media, but just other, right. You know, everything.
It can be toxic.
It's a projection of what who you want people to see you as, a little window.
It's our avatar.
Yeah, it is. You know, it's pretty much like it's almost like social media reminds me of a massive multiplayer online game. Yeah. That's what it reminds me of, because that's it's awesome. Like, okay, who am I today?
And who am I going to troll, you know?
Yeah, there's a lot of folks that do that. All right, so we're going to take a short break. Sebastian, will you play us out for a couple minutes? Mm-hmm. Awesome. This is Sebastian Messer, everybody, jamming out here on WRUU LP Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM, WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings Community Radio with Global Soul. Awesome, Bass. Thanks a lot.
That is awesome. So cool.
All right, everybody. I'm trying to get the commercials to play. So I'm just going to read a couple to you.
Okay.
Give me 1 second here. For some reason, it's not playing. So, all right. So Walk for Homelessness. Union Mission will present its second annual Walk for Homelessness, featuring live music, refreshments, athletic races, and more on Sunday, July 28th at 3 p.m. at Lake Mayer Community Park in Savannah. For more information, call 912-238-2777 or visit unionmission.org. Back to School Expo, the Interdenominational Ministerial Alliance presents Ready, Set, Go Back to School Expo on Saturday, August 3rd from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Savannah Civic Center. This event will feature school supply giveaways, a health fair, dental screenings, entertainment, and information about our four school programs, school registration, and more. For more information, visit rsgbacktoschool.org. Savannah Voice Festival. The Savannah Voice Festival will present more than 30 concerts, classes, operas, and other events at various locations in Savannah from August 3rd through the 25th. This year's festival theme is Heaven and Earth. Highlights include The Little Prince, Il Pagliacci, I'm sorry if I'm saying that wrong, and the an evening of Cole Porter music. A free community concert will take place on Wednesday, August 7th at 7 p.m. at the First Presbyterian Church. For more information, visit SavannahVoiceFestival.org. And last one here, Disco Inferno. Inferno.
Inferno.
Yeah. One Love Animal Rescue presents Disco Inferno. Featuring 70s attire. I love the spin on words. Yeah. Featuring 70s attires, entertainment, food, fundraising activities, and more on Saturday, August the 10th at 7 p.m. at the Savannah Station. This event will benefit One Love Animal Rescue, a nonprofit that partners with community organizations to help abandon, neglected, and abused or unwanted pets. For more information, visit oneloveanimalrescue.com. All right, so we're back. Ed, can you go ahead and read us another poem?
Actually,
you have a third one?
I did bring a third one.
Would you mind? And,
sure,
and while
sure.
you're doing that, I'm going to look at the why this did not. Oh, you know what?
Okay.
I didn't hit the on button. Gosh,
I was looking.
I had everything there except
here.
For the on button. And there. Hold on. Let me just try this real quick.
Our funding. Go to W.
And it worked.
There you go.
Good, because I have everything set up for the next show then. That's great.
Okay, beautiful.
Okay, so Ed Susevich, everybody, is my special guest today. You're listening to The Adam Messer Show. I'm your host, Adam Messer, and this is Muses, Memoirs, and More on WRUU LP, Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM, WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings Community Radio with Global Soul. And Ed, the first half of the show, we've been talking about...
Mm-hmm.
Mostly just a little bit about, you know, your background from being from Savannah,
mm-hmm.
and then you're a sound guy, and we talked about poetry. The second half, if you could read us a poem, and I'd love to dig into your brain about your Savannah on Film stuff.
Sure, sure, sure.
So everybody, Ed has written over 450 poems.
Close to that, yeah.
And wow, you had some really good stuff. You had some really good stuff.
Thank you.
So I appreciate you sharing that with us and sharing it with the world. Is this the first time you ever read poetry out loud? Or
No.
I had a poetry group.
Yeah, it was so crazy. We needed to come up with a name. So it was at a place called Boba's Internet Cafe, which is in the City Market, but it's not there anymore.
Right.
This was in the 90s.
So internet cafes were huge, everybody, in the mid-90s.
Yeah. Before, there was no Wi-Fi. There was no social media.
Yeah.
And
you went in, and if you had a laptop, you could dock in a station, but most of them had, like...
I don't even know if we had that in the early 90s when I was doing this. But,
yeah, like 95, 96, 97, I remember being able to go in. If you had a laptop, which was very rare back then, but a lot of places had their own, you know, you go in and it was kind of like a cube set up.
Yeah.
And you'd go in and you sit down and you pay your time. And
well, this was just like a regular, you know, bar. It was upstairs and had a little balcony, and we'd go sit on the balcony, and it was very laid back. And we had to come up with a name, so one of the people that was in the group,
yeah.
I came up with the idea, Poetic Anarchy Society, or PAS. Sounds it was
that's awesome.
It was a terrible name. We had
it was that's so 90s, though. That is so 90s, like grunge, anti-culture.
Well, I was in my grunge. I had a shirt that made it, I think my
like you said, punk earlier. Now that's, you know.
That's more 80s.
It's more 70s, 80s,
80s, so, yeah.
Yeah, early 90s.
Yeah, like The Clash and different things and much deeper.
There's a lot of retro punk going on.
But anyway, there was nothing in anarchy about our society, and this is when it's like slam poetry was really kicking up, and we had somebody come from another group that was kind of famous in town and wanted to kind of incorporate it into theirs, and I'm like, no, we're kind of laid back, you know, there's no pressure, you read if you feel like it, you know. I've thought of starting that up again, but now with the online possibilities, and you know,
you can do a Facebook group easy.
That's true. Anyway, this one, is from 2014, from July 7th, actually. I have a date on this one.
July 7th. Wow, that's 5 years ago, right?
Yeah, 5 years ago. Today. And it showed up in my Facebook feed, and I just happened to repost it.
That's awesome.
And it was really a kind of call to action. And some of my poetry is like telling myself, do something.
Yeah.
Get up and do something. So this is actually called Light Up Something. You know, apostrophe, light, not the G. Okay. I'm sorry.
Light as in light the world.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I got you.
Here we go. Light up something to watch it burn like a firefly of emotions. It's your turn. Blow up like a raging sun. Do it again till you're done. Streak like those lights up in the sky. Blast like a furnace until you die. Flow like a river unbroken and true. Just like those rhymes inside of you. Be one with your passions. Live them tonight. Don't follow the fashions. You'll be all right. Soar like a phoenix up from the flames. Life is more than just silly games. Follow your passion. Follow your heart. Own the impossible. Make it your art. Be the answer to the equation of you. Embrace the dangerous through and through. Know inner peace while you scream out your truth. Don't be a hostage. Blow off the roof. Run. Dare. Challenge. Be free. Do it yourself. Don't listen to me.
There you go. That was good.
Thank you.
That was really good.
And we're done. No.
He's like, I'm spent. I'm done.
Man, we're curious. Done. We're doing the voices.
That was so cool. Yeah, we were doing the voices earlier just to get warmed up. Okay. Here we go.
Okay.
You are a sound guy, right?
Production, so what, sound mixer, sound editor, podcast.
And you freelance.
Yes.
You worked on several productions in town.
I'm doing the 48-hour film project this year, along with John Grace, my mentor, and there at Savannah Tech. So I'm going to be doing the sound for that. So I'm excited about that. This is my fourth year, I think, doing.
I did that in 2014, and I haven't done one since. It was pretty cool, but I just have not really picked it up. I was a set photographer.
Awesome.
Yeah, I didn't do sound or anything like that. I think we were talking the other day. My friend, he did his MFA in SCAD at like 2004, and I was pretty much his like everything. I was a grip. I was like a PA. I was a camera guy from time to time if he needed it.
Right.
You know, just pretty much like any, like, you know, you have that one friend that will always show up.
Right. Yeah.
That was me.
That's the good friend.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was like my first taste of checking out anything on set, but
I just have to say hi to my wife. Hi, wife.
Hello. How you doing? Hey, Cheryl. How you doing? Yeah. But I think it's interesting because you can be as involved or not involved as you want in the film industry.
Right. And it takes dedication. It takes hard work. We talk about this on Savannah on Film. And
yeah.
When I talk to people in the industry, it's not for the faint of heart. But there are many positions. It's the one industry, one of the industries that will, it doesn't matter how old you are, what your previous past was, you can get in the film. There are positions, there are departments you can work in. You know, you may start out as a PA and work in this department or that department or whatever, but you gotta just keep, you know, chugging away at it. Say yes to opportunities.
Yeah.
And don't say no, you know, unless your gut tells you it's
what,
not.
What I mean by that, I don't mean abuse yourself and just give everything away. I don't mean that. I mean, if you're unsure, like, oh, I'm not sure if I can do that or not, but it's a huge opportunity, say yes, because you can learn as you go.
I don't believe in mistakes, because I think anything that we don't succeed at, we're still learning. And I consider myself, I'm learning every day. I'm learning how to be a better person every day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I'm learning skills, and I'm learning different skills. I'm on the radio now. It was a childhood dream of mine.
I remember you telling me that.
I still have the records, the LP records, which are coming back, and I never thought they'd come back. I wouldn't have got rid of all my DJ equipment and my albums. I shouldn't have. But I still have some of the American Top 40 records that I won off the radio back in the 80s. And, you know, I was in the speed dial before you could do the speed dial, and on the rotary phones.
I remember. Yeah,
we call
grew
it
up
win.
In Cincinnati, and we had 700 WLW. And it was like the first 100,000-watt station in the U.S. And so at night, they could broadcast. It would, like, reach, like, 38 different states. And yeah. I remember listening to
amazing.
Yeah, I remember listening to talk radio as a young kid, and speaking about winning stuff off of the show, off of you know whatever. I would dial the phone. We didn't have speed dial, but I would dial the phone, and I actually won tickets to see John Denver one time. Yeah. And it That's was like awesome. Shortly after that that he passed away. He had a plane crash or whatever.
Did you get to go see him?
I didn't get to go see him, but I won the tickets. But I just it just didn't work out. But it was so cool because I always remember that like oh yeah, you know because back then it was like a big deal to win stuff off the radio. Yeah.
They used to tell me to stop calling. I had to wait like and,
well
like
now I think they have something
times.
Where if you win something you can't win something within a certain time frame. Or whatever.
I was just so rabid about it, you know we. We'd come from church or whatever, and I'd be listening to the radio. I wouldn't know what the top 10 songs were. I used to write them down. I mean, you know, maybe I'm kind of Rain Man-ish, but I have great 80s trivia in my head, and or any kind of music, really. And
What got you into, speaking of that, what got you interested in doing sound and being a sound engineer?
People would probably say because I'm loud. Maybe it's a need to control sound, but I don't know. I'm just always fascinated by it. It's just something that it's like it's in my DNA. You know, you put a camera in my hand, I'm not as good. You know, you put sound equipment in my hand, you put me behind some turntables or whatever, you know, I can do it, you know, and it just comes more natural for me. And I don't know. I've loved music. So I love my poets are not just like some of my favorites, of course, like, you know, like Shakespeare and Edgar Allan Poe. I really like Edgar Allan Poe. I love The Darkness. He seemed to stand out more than most. And there's a lot of others I like. But you know, people to me that are poets are like Sting. His lyrics are beautiful. I mean, they evoke such beautiful things. Like, one of the best things ever written was The Last Resort by Don Henley. I think Don Henley is a genius.
Yeah.
He can paint a picture with a lyric and I love, you know, stuff like that. And I like all different kinds of music. I really honestly do. Except classical. I'm not as well versed on that unless it's John Williams and Star Wars and then I'm there.
Yeah. So with you went to Savannah Tech for the program that they offered?
Yeah, the Georgia Film Academy. It was a certificate program, a two-semester thing, and I got to intern on Galveston, which was the first big production I was on. And like I've said before, I was just blown away. You know, I was like mind blown every day. You know, I was learning so much. And I look back even a year after that, 5 years, whatever, however many years it's been at this point, probably a couple of years. And I own my own equipment now. And
you freelance now.
Right. And at first, when I got that equipment and made that big investment, it sat on the dining room table or wherever the table is or was. And it might have sat there for a day or two or maybe a week, I'm not sure. And I just stared at it because I didn't know what to do. It was like, you know, it was so different, you know. And I laugh now because I didn't know anything about it, and I taught myself kind of how to do it. And I want to say YouTube helped out a lot.
Oh, yeah. You know, that's another amazing aspect of the internet. Let me do a station ID real quick. You are listening to WRUU LP Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM, WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings Community Radio with Global Soul. This is the Adam Messer Show, Muses, Memoirs, and More, and I'm your host, Adam Messer. My special guest today is Ed Susevich. He is also a host here on Saturday nights.
7 to 8 p.m.
And it's Savannah on Film.
Savannah on Film.
And our shows are kind of similar because we both interview creative people. Mm-hmm. I don't focus, you focus on film, the film industry. I focus on just creative people, authors, artists, entertainers. And, you know, so our shows are kind of interesting because we interview people that are creative people, like yourself, like myself, you know.
Right.
And I think you said the other day, I feel the same way that you, when you're syncing with someone and you have that energy flow, it's really nice, especially when you're on that creative vibe.
I totally feed off of creatives. I was just on a film, Intervention, that I did. It's a short, and shout out to the crew there. It was a fun experience, and there's a lot of creative people there, and it was just that energy. And when you get that little family, that little group together, even though you might be together for hours or a few days, or if it's long production months, you know, it's like the 48 doing the 48. I love doing that, you know, because you have a group that you're with, and It's awesome.
We have about 10 minutes left, Ed.
Oh,
so I'm going to ask you some questions. Just some stuff where you can help other people out. Geek World, Geek Home World. Okay, so my column used to be called Geek French. And so, yeah, for the Savannah Morning News, do Savannah. And you've been podcasting for 10 years. So
yes.
You've seen a lot of stuff change. Mm-hmm. You recently just adapted the Anchor FM. And so what would you say to someone who is deciding that they want to do a podcast?
I
know you told me the other day there was a certain message that you always tell people, like, to just hit record.
That's what I was going to say. People that I follow in the field that are making livings out of this, you know, really high paid, you know, triple digit salaries, amazing, you know, they just say hit record, you know. The worst thing you can do is, and I don't really like the term as much, but it's called pod fade, where you record an episode. You work so hard to finally get that episode. And let's say you do push record, you record it and you put it out there. Then you think about it and then you go on to something else. And your audience is like, okay, I'm riveted. I want to hear part two. I want to hear the next episode. And you don't do it and you lose that interest. So the good rule of advice is do 5 episodes, record 5 episodes. Even if they're not your best, do it. You're going to improve every time. You're going to look back and
people
you're going to shriek
that
at it.
Your improvements too. They notice when you,
they do. It's like in film, you know, make your student films, make your films. Even if you're not a student, if you have never been to film school, make your film, get your friends together, pull your phone out, shoot something every day, make something.
Yeah.
And then, you're going to see that evolution and you're going to be proud of yourself too. You're going to look back and you're going to say, wow, I was there and I could be here.
And I have a friend that he's a musician and he was talking the same thing, said something similar about his music, that his early music, he's not really happy with it.
Right.
But I was like, you know, that just shows you have some taste and that you grew as you went along.
Something that's true. And something I wanted to mention, if you don't mind, is like, you can probably tell me this better being a published author yourself, but revision is very important.
Editing,
editing and all that. And
I'm learning to love editing.
When I wrote a lot of my poems, I was like, okay, it's done. Not that it was a masterpiece or anything. Some of them, I'm like, where did this come from? I felt like I channeled some wonderful idea. And I hate to go back and try to apply my knowledge now to it.
Yeah.
But reading just some of the things I read today seem relevant. And I wrote those, you know, a couple of years ago, you know.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool, too.
I think poetry, there's a lot more freedom with it, especially with free verse, because you can... you can intentionally break the structure of a sentence.
Right.
To, like yesterday, listening to Brendan talk, you know, his poetry is free verse. It's not a lot of rhyme.
Right.
And he refers to things, he breaks the sentence structure on purpose to make you think. So I think with poetry, you have a lot of more, you have more freedom.
You have freedoms. And like when I was hosting that poetry group back in the 90s, my poetry up to that point was a rhyme scheme. It had to have a rhyme scheme. I was that rigid with it. My thoughts were way out there, but my structure was very rigid.
Yeah.
And I learned, and I don't know that I've really brought any examples of that with me today, because some of that got a little racy as I went on, you know, with some of it.
Oh, but, yeah. Brendan's stuff was, I was reading it last night, and it's very adult oriented.
Yeah. Some of it was a little bit, but it was, I always wanted to challenge people's expectations, their beliefs and different things. And so, but it got to be, I got more into free verse, which was hard for me at first to do. And then those were just like, 'cause I'm like, it's not poetry if it doesn't rhyme. It is poetry if it doesn't rhyme. It's just a different type of poetry.
And it's, I think poetry gives you a lot of freedom.
It does give you that freedom. Yeah.
Talking about the sound and working on a set, when you're going into post-production, that's editing.
Like I do a lot of that. I'm working on a feature film now, little sound bits and that I'm getting sent at a time and put it, you know, and I'm going in there and cleaning up the tracks, trying to take out background noise where you can. Sometimes there's limitations. If you have equipment you record with that is more what they say consumer instead of prosumer,
right,
as sometimes depending on the limiters you have, if you have just analog limiters it's going to be burned into the track, as they say, and it can be removed, but it's a nightmare for.
Yeah.
And my job as a production sound mixer is to make the cleanest recording that I can get, and when I turn it over to the people that are doing post for that, mm-hmm. that it's, you know, is clean and is brilliant. And if you can get a compliment back, some of my fellow mixers in the industry have shown online where they got a nice, you know, letter or whatever, card or whatever, or message saying that was the cleanest sound I ever heard. And I was on a production and early in my career, and the gentleman doing the post on it, he was on a short film, and he said, "This is the best sounding audio I've ever heard. It's the cleanest." And I'm like, well, it better be. I'm thinking to myself, for the money I spent for this equipment.
Sound is like one of those things that it's not noticed until there's something wrong.
Right, right, right. And don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you have to have the most expensive equipment, because you can have the best equipment in the world.
Yeah.
If you don't have technique, then it's wasted.
Yeah.
It's just wasted money.
And I would say a lot of the content, especially online and social media, it's people are using their phones.
But the phones are coming up. They're not there yet.
Yeah, they're not there, but they're getting there. And then when people see videos, it's so crazy, but when sometimes you can tell when something's been produced. And
yeah.
You can tell that the video was like, you know.
Well, that's what sound, you can overprocess it, you know.
Yeah.
You can almost make it where it's too pristine, or you take those breaths out of there, or the ums, or the
auto-tune
the lip
stuff.
Smacks. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and then if you get well, auto-tune's a whole different story.
I know. I'm just talking about like with music and content and whatever.
I think if I auto-tuned, I could be a good singer.
I think anybody could, right? You could take like any kind of whatever and just sound awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, Bill, how you doing?
Oh, good. I was trying to sneak
in. We love you, Bill. You can come on in.
From Savannah at Night.
Yeah.
How you doing?
You're the author I was listening to on the air?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I like
your
poem about the internet.
Bill, you
did?
Yeah,
okay.
Bill, you know Ed.
I'm happy, though. Don't judge them all. Some people are actually
No. I don't.
Bill, you know Ed. He's the guy from Savannah on Film, and he does a lot of stuff with...
Met your sister.
Yes, you did. Yeah, she's online here, I think, watching too.
She was very nice. Absolutely.
I'm sorry about that. I apologize.
You had nothing to do with her being nice.
No.
Yeah. You have Clinton Edmeister coming on, don't you?
He's standing on the sidewalk and
cool.
In this
I'm not telling you his personal business, but I need to.
All right. Well,
nice to meet you.
Yeah.
Again, probably.
Again, yeah.
And everybody, Bill Cooper is going to be up next on Savannah at Night.
From our show. We'll talk.
Is Chad and Hot, are they going to be here today too?
Chad and Clinton and me. And
okay,
Lewis
cool.
Okay.
Awesome.
We have a lineup here. I know your show was great. I hate to tell you.
Okay.
Stay tuned, folks.
Our show is so good that he wanted to come in and tell us about his show.
Sundays are on
you know,
fire.
You remember the commercials that they used to have, like throughout the regular show that's coming up for like the actual 9 o'clock show. You remember,
like
your show would be like the 9 o'clock show. Like your show is the prime time show. Ours is like the primer.
No, you have a great show. Don't put yourself down.
We're all good.
No, seriously,
we're at the greatest radio station.
We are.
Never put yourself down.
Oh no, it's self-deprecating humor.
That for free, don't help them.
Yeah, I know, right? All right, Bill.
It's good seeing
we'll
you,
see
Bill.
You in a few minutes.
Oh, awesome.
We love that guy. He's
Bill,
so funny.
Bill Cooper, he's great.
Yeah, great guy. Ed. Okay, so are you accepting freelance work right now?
I'm always accepting freelance work.
Okay. And where can people check out your stuff?
What's
the best one?
Best one.
What's the easiest and simplest? I know you're working on your website. But...
Yeah, I'm working on edsusevich.com. That's it's on WordPress. I'm learning it. I'm behind the curve, and I'm trying to.
You're gonna get there. It's a
WordPress. I know. Let's see. Gosh, you can meet you.
Let's just do Instagram and
film.
Facebook.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry because I have a lot of them. I'm trying to go through.
Let's do Savannah on film on Facebook. What's that?
It's Savannah on film on Facebook.
Okay.
You can reach me there.
Instagram.
There's also. Savannah on Film Radio is what it is on Instagram.
Okay.
And because I messed up the Instagram account trying to put it together. It's terrible. My podcast, Geek Home World, it's at geekhomeworld.libsyn.com. Also, it's on Facebook, Geek Home World. You can follow me there. There's YouTube channels for Savannah on Film. There's YouTube channels for Geek Home World. If you want to reach me, you can reach me through there on any of those platforms.
Awesome, awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me. And this is part of a crossover. Can I say, coming Saturday, July 20th, you will be on Savannah on Film.
So I'm excited.
We're doing the crossover. Yeah, I'm very excited. This is the beginning of a wonderful friendship. So thank you, sir, for
thank
having
you.
Me on.
This is great. Sebastian, will you play us out a little bit? And then we're going to
Savannah
at Night coming up next.